I want to share, and we're going to hopefully get into and probably wrap up, but last week I talked about desensitizing and that of what the world has done to the world in general, what society has done to just common folk like ourselves, people that are out there. A lot of times the people, and myself included, and you may, we don't even know we've been desensitized until it gets so far away that you're going, how did I get here? Or why, now that I can see that, and it does not raise concern or alarm for anybody else. It's because, you know, we have been given a good job of out there, the enemy, the god of this world, is what he wanted to do from the very beginning, is to desensitize people to that of the right and the wrong and the moralities of what God stands for. It started in the garden. Surely he won't kill you for getting more knowledge. Surely he's not going to do that. You know, Eve and all that, the cunningness of the serpent in the garden. Now she was kind of being desensitized to what God was saying and not to do. And you got all of this you can enjoy, all of this you can have, but don't do this one thing. Isn't that something that we can have 100 things out there? And the Lord would say, but you can have all of this 100 stuff, but this 101 thing, don't touch. And for some reason, guess what we want to touch? The one thing that we shouldn't. And we get cunningly invited over to it like that of Eve. And so we see that in our day-to-day activities of today through that of our families. We see that through our generation, whatever generation you want to be, X, Y, generation this, that, or whatever. We all go through things of what has changed in our life. And there's going to continue to be changes in our society. But I'm afraid, as I stand here today to tell you this, that they're probably not going to be good changes, because the word of the Lord tells us they're not going to be good changes. So remember last week we talked about desensitizing, and I talked to this from Merriam-Webster. It's to make insensitive or non-reactive. So that's what has happened through all the things that we've been indoctrinated with at this point in time, through media, through music, through commercials, through sitcoms, through you name it, through Walt Disney, through all these things. It's slowly being that we are what? Being non-reactive to things that we used to react to. They've done a very good job. We shared about in Isaiah last week, of Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If nothing else, just read that verse. Let it meditate in you. And now you look around and you go, I understand it more so now than ever before. But the good Lord God, he told us way back in Isaiah, already before Jesus came on the scene, that this is what he was telling the people back then. We find that today, where good things that we call good, the world is telling you those are bad. How can you believe that? That is evil. If you believe that, you are, you know, some kind of a phobe. You're some kind of a phobia type thing that you can't understand and go along with what we say is good. No, I say that's bad, but I don't say that's bad. I say it's bad only because who says it's bad? God says it's bad. I'm not naming good and bad. I'm just following my God. How about you? So we find that out there, and Isaiah is already telling us those things. We found in 1 Corinthians 3:18, avoid worldly wisdom. The world out there wants to give you the wisdom. We look around in the world, and we look at the world, and we go, boy, isn't the world smart? Look at all the things that have been developed, all the things that have been invented, and a lot of good things, right, have been invented. A lot of good things have been coming about to where it has made our lives a lot easier, really. And so there are good things that have come about. But we also need to realize that we need to look at, that's the avoiding that of the worldly wisdom. You don't necessarily need to avoid the inventions and things that have come about to make our lives simpler and easier, but you've got to watch out when the world, the wisdom that is seated within the world begins to be more powerful and more prevalent in your life or in a society, because the world's wisdom comes from the devil. The god of this world is seeding those things of worldly wisdom. The god of this world is Satan, Lucifer. So if he's the god of this world, good idea to what? Avoid the world's wisdom, because it is not God's wisdom. When I read out of Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, it says this, and you made him alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, and once you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the son of disobedience. At once you did that. We were all doing and walking in the world's wisdom, the world's ideas, but there was a change. Among them also we all at once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So what we find in Ephesians 2, verse 2, it would say this, as a just a study. The mood and manner of a society is shaped by the prince of the power of the air, which is the title for Satan, as he influences globally and within each culture. We talked about that last week. The culture that we are being saturated with, our culture has what? Changed. We in the church and what we know was good and bad, remember, because he said what's bad will be called good and what's good will be called bad. We already know what the world out there is calling good. We are already saying in ourselves, no, that's bad. We have been tuned up to that by the word of God in us, and we need to figure out how did we get that to where we have, and hopefully we'll get into that, and we will for sure, the filter, okay? We have to have a filter. But we got to look at Satan. He influences globally and within each culture. Sad to say, Satan influences even in our families. We all have family situations, and some good and some bad and not some so. Sometimes, you know, we think everything's going good and something arises. It's like, what is going on? It's the influence of the enemy, Satan, coming in to destroy everything. Believe this. Satan wants to destroy everything, correct? Kill, steal, destroy. We could all come up with probably dozens and dozens of things that we're aware of that have been killed, stealed, or destroyed in something in our lives. In the past, currently, are to be aware of in the future. Because it's still coming. And we've got to be aware of it. Amen. In Ephesians 4:18, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance of that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. We were all blind, our heart. When you talk about the Lord, come in, change my heart, fill my heart with you, not the things of this world. That's like Ephesians 4, 18 to 19. But I wanted to get down today to about that of the filter. So when the Lord was speaking of the things of desensitizing, it's like, okay, Lord, but how do we take care of that? How do I not be desensitized? How can I become not desensitized? How can I become proactive? How can I become alert to these things that are out there? Many of us in our churches, and I said this last week too, I think our churches have been really a fault of our churches and us and whatever. We've kind of dozed off and we've allowed these things to come in and we didn't think it was going to be of any harm or anything. It's like, oh, it's just a little leaven. Leaven's the whole loaf. A little of a sin, a little of a morality decay in a country will begin to grow and nurture and develop. Pretty soon that little leaven of sin in the country, guess where we're at today? Look around, hello. Sin abounds, but where sin abounds, grace abounds even what? More. So the one thing that God put in his word is, yeah, we're going to see these things happening. And oh, sin is everywhere. Sin is massive. It's growing in leaps and bounds, all of this. But I also know my God is growing by leaps and bounds. He's already set that standard. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even greater. His love, his concern. So it's not a lost cause. We can tell the people, okay, you fell for it, but don't stay in it. There's forgiveness of your sin by the grace of God. Amen? See, when people fall into it and the enemy tricks them to stay in it, he tells them that you're so far into it, God's not going to forgive you, your family's not going to forgive you, your business, whatever, people are not going to forgive you. Just stay in it where you're enjoying it. But we have got to come, as we're being taught on Thursdays, as watchmen, because we're filled with the Spirit. Amen? We're filled with the Spirit to catch these things out of God's Word to enlighten us, because I'm not in dark. Are you in dark? No. Say this, I'm in light. All righty, you're going to dispel darkness. If you're in light, you're going to see darkness. And isn't it amazing? Darkness cannot extinguish the light. Isn't that amazing how God put these things together? You know? Hallelujah. I could have a light here and a thing, a little flashlight. I could put it here and put a darkened bucket over it. And it's dark in there, but no, it's not dark because the light's still on. See, as Satan tries to put a bucket over us to cover our light is still shining.
No.
What we have got to do is kick the bucket off. Now, get that right. I don't want you to kick the bucket. Wait a minute. You would be of no good then. Don't kick the bucket. Back in a kid, remember that? I don't know if you guys were. We grew up in a neighborhood, you know, back in the 60s, you know, 50s and 60s. We used to call it kick the can, kick the stick. Or beautiful games. They didn't require batteries, didn't require an internet, you know. All it requires is a stick and a can and kids to have fun. But anyway, so we are a flashlight. The devil will put a bucket over us and go, ha, got him. No, you don't. My light is still on. And Lord, or devil, you're trying to subvert me. You're trying to hold me down, but I'm going to cry out to God. And we get our strength back. We come out, and the bucket comes off. And our light, guess what? It's still shining. Hallelujah. The only way that light will overcome, or the dark will overcome the light, is if you allow your switch to be turned off. You've got to keep your spiritual switch on. Hello? You don't want your switch off. And we run on a power that never extinguishes, never runs down, but we do have to be renewed. We need to be refilled, re-anointed with that of the Holy Spirit to keep that battery fully charged. Sometimes I look around and you can look around and I can see, oh, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, their spiritual battery is down. Look at them. They used to be this, and now they're like, eh, yeah, I believe God. Yeah, it's a battle. I can do it. I can do it. You need to be recharged. You need to plug into the source. Amen. Lord God already had renewable energy before any of our government came into it. Hello. Yeah, here it is. World wisdom. Look what we've developed. Renewable energy. God's always had that. It's called the Holy Spirit. My God, if we can get our cars and our gas tank to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't need fossil fuel. Then the government going, how's that working? Yeah, I'd explain it to you, but you're so dumb about it, you wouldn't even understand it. Because I'm going to say, it's God. And you say, God? What? You're one of them people? Yes, I'm one of them people. But rather than that, having the Holy Spirit in the tank, the Lord will bless you as a child of God to give you the finances to buy the gas. You got to have faith. Have faith. Gas, $5. Have faith. God will give you gas to put in your car. Put in 2 gallons and he'll make it go like you got 30 gallons. We've had testimonies of stories and things of that nature to where people have been low on gas, low on money, and it's like, I don't know how I made it 100 miles on like a half a gallon. That of what? God. But God. Our source. Why would people not want to hook up to a God that can be their source to get them through the scrapes that we go through in life? Oh yeah, we will hurt, we will have pain, we will cry, we will have issues within. But let that only last for what? A night. Let that only last because joy comes in the morning. Many times we're in nighttime, in our problems, in our strife. But the Lord's word says, but joy comes in the morning. The brightest hour, the darkest hour of the night is just before dawn. If you're in a darkened time right now in your life, give praise to God because dawn is about to come. Amen. Hold down the excitement, please. Oh, wow. So if you're in a dark, dark time, what you got to do is praise God. Well, thank you, God. I'm in a dark time, but darkness is the darkest right before the dawn. And God's word says, joy comes in the dawn. Joy comes in the morning. Now, you've got to know that. And then you've got to tell your adversary, the devil, joy is coming. Get out of here. Amen. The devil will stay as long as you allow him and entertain him to stay. Many times we entertain the devil to stay in our problems. You've got to take authority on those problems. You've got to walk as a child of God. You've got to remind yourself who you are. You've got to remind the devil who you are. You don't need to remind God who you are because God already knows you're a child of his. When we say that, God would say, yeah, Tim, hasn't changed. You're mine. I'm taking care of you. I'll see you through it. Why do you think I wouldn't? Because I've allowed the enemy to sow discord in my thoughts. I've allowed him to take and give a little doubt. I've allowed that little leaven of doubt to come in. And pretty soon, what happens? I'm believing the liar, because the Word of God says the devil is the father of truth. No. The Word of God says the devil is the father of lies. God is the God of truth who never changes. Whew. But we have to have a filter. What do we use filters for? We use filters to remove impurities. You know, have you ever made coffee? Remember back in the days of the old, I was thinking of this, and I think, okay, Lord, what are we going to use for examples and all that? Okay, so back in the days of the old percolator, you know, you used to not have any paper. You didn't have nothing. You just had a basket that had really little fine holes in it. You'd put the old coffee in there, clamp it, and it'd go. That little thing, that was like a kid. Didn't you remember watching that as a child? You look at that little glass thing on there, and all of a sudden you hear that stuff that's steaming in there going. All of a sudden it go. You know? And that thing is percolating. Man, I tell you what, you got to percolate with God. Woo! Got to allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and you need to percolate with that of God. He'll boil over with that of the Holy Spirit to take care of and soak through the grounds of what the devil's put in there, and you're going to get the good stuff out of it. Anyway, so now we got that basket. Coffee did well. Never really had coffee in it because it was so fine holes, it just streamed it out, filtered it out. Then we got this idea, let's get drip coffee. So we get the old drip coffee thing. Well, now to do that, you got to have a filter, a paper filter to put in the basket, put the coffee in, put it in there, let it drip, just drip, drip, go through it. Now, I've had a few times where that filter in there sometimes gets cockeyed in there. I didn't know that. It didn't do it until you know what I found out? All of a sudden, I'm drinking, and it's like, the closer you get to the bottom, you're going. You know, I take my mouth, and I go like that, and go, my gosh, I got grounds on there. What in the world? Man. And that's when you found out the filter was not properly working. The grounds came into my coffee, and I found out at the last, or usually when you get to about half, you're starting to chew your coffee too. You know? And then if you put Dunkin' Donuts in there, you know, things in there, you don't know if it's the donut or you don't know if it's the doggone coffee. So I've had that where I've opened up and I looked at my coffee cup and there's been grounds and things down there, but it's not been the grounds. It's just been the donuts that I kept putting in there. Or I'll take my napkin and drop my donuts in there. I tell you what, if I'm not going to eat the donut crumbs, I will drink them. I will not let a good donut go to waste. But that's a filter that would filter and keep the impurities of the grounds from coming into that of what I wanted to enjoy. We have a filter in our life that we want to enjoy life. We have water filters that we put on so that we can not taste the impurities of the fine, clean water that we get to drink from our municipalities that says it's all healthy, it's all good. So many of us have filters upon, and sometimes we have filters upon filters because we don't trust that filter. So I'm going to refilter it twice, three times. But the filter is to take out impurities or to keep things from being ingested in you that could cause harm. We need a filter in our life because the world out there is willing and wanting to drop in everything it has into your spirit, into your mind, into your heart, into your life. And if we don't have that filter, we will continually digest it, take it in, no matter what. Cambridge Dictionary says this of a filter: any of several types of equipment or devices for removing solids from liquids or gases, or for removing particular types of light, you know, like a filter so the light doesn't come in, one of things like that, a water filter, a dust filter. When I put this down, because it also said this, ozone is the Earth's primary filter for ultraviolet radiation. You know, that was God protecting us from that. Now I know we've got a lot of studies and things saying our ozone, we got holes in our ozone and all this stuff, and that's what's causing all this stuff. We got to be cautious, we got to be careful, we got to be whatever, mindful of being good stewards of this planet. But I'm going to tell you what, it ain't over until God says it's over. When it's over, it's going to be over, but then it's going to come back better. Okay? But how God even protected us from the ultraviolet, that ozone, it's a thing, it's a filter. In 2 Timothy, what is our filter? 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Are you there? And it says this, all. So that tells me not just some, not a few scriptures, not a few things of what God says, but all things, amen? All things that God has said that he inspired upon men of old to write are his words. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. This instruction is like that of training, discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we look at this, the writers of the scriptures wrote from their own personal, historical, and cultural context. Although they used their own minds, talents, and languages and style, they did write and they wrote what God told them to write by that of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Bible is not just stories, fables, myths. The Bible is not even human ideas. It's not even the thoughts of these people when they wrote it. It is God-inspired. It is to be read and taught to guide us in our conduct and our journey in this life. The scriptures, that, the Bible, are our standard to be used to test everything that claims to be true. We got to watch that with that, I believe, for sure, of doctrines and things that man shares and the things of God and all of that. We know that's out there. But in generalities, we can look. We just went in the Sunday school in Proverbs. Just the Proverbs will tell you how to financially come through this life and how to take care of yourself financially and what to guard against. I mean, God's word will guide you and lead you and teach you not just in the supernatural things and the spiritual things, but God's word will walk you through this basic life. Amen? On what it takes, how to take it, and what it's going to require. And if we could just follow probably 75% of what's in there, we would have a good life. Most of us, the most of the world's not following any of it, or they only are following maybe 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever the case might be, I don't know. But you know, God's word is there to lead us, guide us, teach us what to be watchful of, how to treat your neighbor, what to watch out for when borrowing, how to take care of a lender, how to live a life, how to take care of your spouse, how to be with your kids. Hello? So is this book just used for just salvation and spiritual stories? Not just that. But they're powerful when you read them. But it's a Bible, it's a book, basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Everything we need to know is right there. That's why back in the days, in schools, a lot of lessons were taught from the Bible. Many of that was used in this curriculum of elementary schools. And then man got in there with man's what? Worldly wisdom. And we said, this is what we need to teach them. Well, look where that's taken us. Hello. So, God, given by inspiration of God, translate this Greek word, theoptimus or whatever, pneumatos, which literally means this, God breathed. This is Scripture's most important statement about itself, meaning that Scripture is the product of God's creative breath. Let there be light. Let there be God's creative breath. Therefore, being God's own utterance, it is properly called the Word of God. And we find in this passage here, Paul only states the fact of inspiration about this. Without the process and explaining it, but elsewhere throughout scriptures you can find that it elaborates on the Holy Spirit's role in the production of the written word. The word of God, that of the scriptures, will teach us and show us the path that we should walk or the path that we should be on. Pretty simple. Shows you the path. The scriptures will rebuke us to show us when we stray from God's path. There for that correction. Scriptures will correct us and help us get back on the path that God wants us on. Scriptures will train or teach us on how to stay on the path of God. You realize a lot of this is correlating to we need to stay on the path, that of God. Many times we get on our own path, we get on the world's path, and that's when we all have problems. The scriptures will, okay, stay on the path. I already said that. It's through his word that God will help us grow and inherit what God has prepared for us. So remember, we talked about breathed by that how the Holy Spirit spoke into these people. In John 14, 26, it says, but the helper, we look at that, John 14, 26, the helper would be also looked as that of the comforter, or the Greek word parakletos. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. How are we going to be taught the word of God? By reading it, and by that of the Holy Spirit teaching us how it will in open up in our life. How it will begin to take on the direction and what we need to hear and learn from the Word of God. He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. So if we've heard something in the past, if we've read something, if we were that of the disciples back then and Jesus telling us, it would be like this. He would bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. Well, guess what? Jesus is talking to us in the Word, in the Bible. Amen. In the red letter edition, the red words are that of, the red sentences are that of, saying Jesus is speaking. So as we read that, Jesus is speaking to us as we read it, okay? That's his words. Then what we've got here, and what's important, what's great to know about the Holy Spirit is, he will bring you to the remembrance of all the things that I have said to you. He will bring to the remembrance all the things that you have read about me. In the Amplified, it says this, but the helper here, again, that helper here, the Amplified says this, comforter, advocate, intercessor, slash counselor, the helper being that of a strengthener, a standby. If you've got an Amplified Bible, those things are wonderful, man. This thing will just really ignite you into the things of what these words in the Greek and Hebrew, what they really begin to open up and the meanings of could extract from that. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father... Well, I said strengthener or standby. Now here again, that standby, we talked about the parakletos. That is the one called alongside to help. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus has gone to be the Father. The Holy Spirit is where we're at today. But this is what happens is he comes and he, what it says here, he could stand alongside you. He will send it in my name. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's in my place to represent me, represent Jesus, and he's going to act on Jesus' behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. Whoa, the filter that we need to walk and live and breathe, all of these things, is the Word of God being that of filtered by that of the Holy Spirit, so we filter the Word. We have to sometimes filter what men say of the Word of God to make sure it is that of the true Word of God. So you have the Holy Spirit in you to make sure that they're not kind of sliding you something else under the table and taken away from what the trueness of the Holy Spirit, what that of Jesus was, what that of God was, because many things out there in our, even in our Christian religious society, is trying to change a lot of things of God's word and the meanings of it. And I dare say that many out there will say that a lot of these scriptures and things of today are not for today. No, why is that? Because see, they're in a society that is falling, and society that is falling, the words of the Word of God and that of Jesus, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't work, it doesn't fit. It would tell the world and the society that's falling, don't fall, repent, turn back to that of God and his word, and then you will be good. But they're saying, that doesn't pertain to us anymore because we're here and we're going to stay here. And we're going to live in our immorality and our morality decline. We're going to, you know, do away with the trueness of a marriage of a man and a woman. That's not going to go. It can be anything you want now. God's word does not support that. So of course they're going to say it's not relevant to our life today, right? And we got people out there hearing these other people that are telling them this, and they're taking it hook, line, and sinker. And so there's that group trying to discredit this because we got a group that even says that I, that of a clergy, I, that have gone to school, I, that have wanted to teach the Word of God, but it doesn't pertain to these things of us today. It's going to take this meaning on it now. And we got to be careful what the world begins to change and the meanings of what God says. Amen? You can look at certain words in your vocabulary and how they have changed from this to now. It's like totally opposite. Gay, happy, fun, laughing in the 1950s and 60s. Gay, now, homosexual, lovers of same-sex people, all of this. They're like, wait a minute. It gets to where up is down is up, whatever it is. And so when I talked to John, sometime back we were talking one time, and we were trying to go through different things of words that have changed what they used to be. And now you say them, and it's like they chastise you because the world has taken that and changed it to this, and like we're saying it, what it meant back in what we grew up in wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. It was good. They've taken it and turned what was good, now they've turned it into what's bad. The world will take what is good and say good is bad. And what is bad, they will say is good. It's okay to have same-sex marriages. It's okay that you can do that. It's okay if you don't want to be a gender, you know, female now. If you want to, tomorrow you might want to be a male. That's okay. That's a binary or whatever they call it now. You know? Did I tell you last week when I went on to, like, you know, get ready for an appointment at the clinic, they go through and do a thing, oh, check this all out. Your name, yes. Sex, you know, male. Sex at birth, male. Sex that you follow now or something, female. I mean, I looked at that on the doggone health thing. I was like, I was born a male. What? Why does it change from there down to here? And they're kind of going through, male, okay, what do you classify yourself as now? What do you want to be called? All of these things. See how that, even society, medical, filling out a basic form now, it's not male or female. It's male now, tomorrow female, I was born this, now I'm going to be a dog. Somebody's told me this or has reported that some guy wanted to be listed or looked at as a dog, and he was walking around on all fours, and he was claiming to be a dog. I don't know where that was at in our country, but I heard that or read that somewhere on an article. And so these things are happening, guys. I mean, we look at it like it's ridiculous, but it's going to be there. I mean, for crying out loud, when a guy or a gal says, I'm non-binary, it just tells you they don't know what they want to be at the time. They'll be whatever they want to be at the time when they're there. You know? I mean, that's our society. But the society is saying that's good now. That gives them freedom to be who they are, to express themselves. And then if we hold to the truth and the line of that of God, we're homophobia, we're bigots, we're something bad, we're, you know, we whatever it is, we're haters. I didn't say we're hate. I don't hate you. I just, you're not following, whatever. But see, they will start putting a different claim on you and call you. Remember back in the day when it says, you know, Christians, our name Christians was given to us by that of Gentiles or by that of not Christians. They said, those are the Christians, you know. You know, the world gave us that. Jesus didn't give us Christians. You know, those outside said, look at those Christians. The world is going to be calling us those things now. They're going to say, oh, you're not a Christian. You're a hater. Oh, you're one of them. We got to run from you. You're dangerous. No, I'm not dangerous. I love you, you know, by that of what God says. But they will do all they can to change. And it is working very well, if I do say so myself. Just look out there. Just look and just pay attention. But the filter that we have is that of God's Word to teach us, to correct us, to get us to understand things. We understand that as the word came into that, or by that of the men of old, that were given the inspiration by that of the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit is with us today. So it does trip your alarm when you see these things, hear this on the news, see this in a sitcom, see this, see that, hear that, see that, blah, 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 that there should be something in your spirit going, there it is. That's what the Word of God said. Whoop, there it is. There it is. Here it is. 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, 3, 2 Timothy 4, 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to fables. People out in the world, here it is, guys. People in the world will tell you, if you say, I read the Bible, they will say, oh, that's a book of fables. That's a book of truth. But it says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you who be watching all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And this is teaching and correcting and teaching the Word of God. But I tell you what, if we're not going to teach and correct and use the Word of God in our churches, how can we use it out there in the society? You know, the society is running amok. And now they come into the church that agrees with everything that's out there, and we welcome them. We welcome all. Amen? We welcome all here. Like one pastor says, people would call, and he would say this, we do not affirm anybody. We welcome everybody. Let God affirm those things. What they're wanting to catch you in is we affirm that it's okay to be bisexual. We affirm it's okay to be non-binary. We affirm it's okay to be gay or lesbian or LBGEXYLYZ. Man, I had a hard enough time learning the ABCs the right way. Now we're like, they're taking our alphabet, man. And the rainbow and all these beautiful things. And they're corrupting it, and we're just going, the world is just going right along with it. See, the world has lost its filter. The Word of God has been not taught in the past anymore. Grandmas and grandpas of the old that taught these things took the kids to Sunday school. Moms and dads that took the kids to Sunday schools in the 30s, 40s, 50s, they passed on. Now it's that generation that's come up, and they're estranged from the church. The kids are not being taught these things. They're allowing and they're thinking, let the schools tell them. Let the schools teach them. Let these people today, of these families and all, there, a lot of them are saying, let the world teach my kids what they need to know. Do you see that happening sometimes? Yeah. All the time. The world will teach them. The educational system will teach them. So the enemy knows, oh, they're going to trust the educational system to train them. So we, a long time back, this has happened already. It's nothing new. So the enemy, the god of this world, he has infiltrated that of the educational system, and now he's into that of the teaching, not just of the colleges and the higher learned areas is where they started, because they had to get those people brainwashed first to come into the elementary to be the teachers. Oh, my goodness. If you begin to follow this, you can see how it just goes from here to here to here. Desensitization. But we got a filter. And those of us that have a filter can rise up and pray about it and keep strong with that of God. I'm going to tell you what, they can bring all of this stuff in, but if we have some good, strong prayer warriors that don't cave under these things, it will turn out to what God, and it's going to turn out anyway, what God is going to have, even if we falter, even if we fall off of the prayer wagon, God has it planned out. He has the answer. He will not fail. Amen? So the world is already in where it's at. And I'm not dooming and glooming it and saying, oh, well, let's not take care of it. We're going to take care of it as best we can through that of prayer and preaching the Word of God and being a filter to where we, if you don't filter yourself, you can't take care of the others. Amen. Now, here's the thing, just pops into me, okay? So, what happens? Just a few examples and the things we can understand. When you're on a plane and they're up there and they're above where the oxygen is at and the cabin is pressurized, and they say, if we lose pressurization and that mask falls out of the ceiling, hopefully it falls out of the ceiling, it comes out of the ceiling, before you put your other one on, even your child or anybody else, put your mask on what? First. Even though you've got people around, you might want to say, here, let me help you with that. You have to, what's that telling you? You've got to take care of yourself, what? First. To be able to help others, second, third, fourth, fifth. Because if you pass out, you're no good anyway. I would say this with that of the Word of God. You have got to take the Word of God like that of an oxygen mask. You have got to, when it's coming down, you need to put the Word of God on, and you need to put it on you first before you go out and try to help somebody else. Because you go out and try to help somebody else, chances are you're not going to be eventually strong enough, because it is sad to say, the things of the world will slowly creep in on you and wear you down, 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 to where you're no good to yourself. You're not going to be able to continue to persevere with that of God because you're wore out. Why it's important to continually be refilled, renewed with the Holy Spirit. My goodness, even if you don't come to church, every day, if nothing else, wake up and say, Lord, fill me again with the Holy Spirit. Take that vitamin, amen? Be filled up. Be strong yourself so that you can be of a benefit to the world. So as we are in this world and all this stuff is hitting us, we got to take care of ourselves first by that of the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to filter the things of this world, because he's going to teach us and help us. Jesus here promises us, his disciples, the Holy Spirit would help them remember what he had taught them. The Holy Spirit would help them remember without taking away their individual perspectives, okay? We can have that same confidence that the Scriptures are accurate to what Jesus taught and what God spoke. Amen? So just as the Holy Spirit helped the disciples, we can trust the Holy Spirit to do the same for us. God has not left us. He's with us with the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 14. But God has revealed them to us. It says, but as written above that, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us. Through what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. If you ever want to get the depth of God, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You want to get deeper with God? Get the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit just begin to share. Woo! For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man? For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That's why it's important. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will help us understand the things of God. Now we, 12, have received not the spirit of the world. Hello? Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Many times people, what's wrong with it, guys? People do not know what God has given them. Because they don't search the Scriptures, they don't read the Scriptures, or they allow the enemy, Satan, the god of this world, to take those things that God has given you, and he's taken them from you, or he has blinded you by bringing you into whatever, frustrations and anxieties and doom and things, to where you don't realize and recognize anymore the things that God has given you. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There it is, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. But verse 15, let's go there, I didn't have that. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's why it talks about to renew your mind as we have these things. And in the Word, it talks about think on these things as I have. Think about these. Think what Jesus has taught. Think about what he has spoken, what he has shared. We have got to get that knowledge into us and get away from the world's wisdoms. They call it wisdom. We call it foolishness. Get into that of what God is and what he is calling and what he is doing, okay? But the natural man does not receive these things, okay? But we that are spiritually discerning can. So it's important, and our filter is there. The filter God has given to us, the Word of God, his Word, is that truly of God? The way we learn it and keep it within us is the filter. The Holy Spirit is that filter. The Word of God is that filter. They work in tandem. That's why when things of the world come into your eyes, you hear, whatever, you read, there's a filter in you, you know, and all of a sudden you begin to say, that's not right. That's wrong thoughts. That's leading this country. That's leading this nation. That's leading this whatever family, kids, society down the wrong path. Remember what did I say back earlier about scriptures, you know, rebuking, straying from God's path. They'll keep us on the path or get us back on the path. It'll teach us how to stay on his path. Yeah, but see, the world and what they're doing is leading everybody off of that path of God into this, like, free this, free that, everything's great, it's okay, don't worry, be happy. Well, I'm not worrying. I'm a child of God, and I'm being happy because I got the joy of the Lord in me, hallelujah. But I got the wisdom and the knowledge and the discerning of that of the Holy Spirit as a filter to say, but be cautious of this, don't buy into that, don't support that, stay away from that, pray about all of that, guard yourself, amen? Guard yourself. If you don't guard yourself and keep yourself healthy, you will not be good for anyone in your family. You will not be good for anyone out in the world that you are to talk and to be an example to, because we are to be that of spreading of the good news, the gospel. But I'm going to tell you, if the devil has stolen the good news out of you, you're worthless of sharing that to anybody else until you get yourself back in line with that of God, knowing who you are, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having and walking in that with the strength and the joy and whatever of the Holy Spirit. The filter. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! I pray right now, Lord, that as they go through this life and the days ahead, you see a filter here, you see something straining that, you see whatever's happening with their this, that, or the other, Lord, that this will come back to you in your spirit about the filter of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to filter all of this junk in this world. Because we too can fall to that. It can come into this vessel. Isn't what you're called a vessel? And so what we allow in here and here gets into here. And so we've got to learn to filter it between here to there, so that it doesn't just continue to build and build and build. And we've got the power of God in us to take on the world, to take on our own personal things that the devil is trying to beat us down with, and then we're going to stand strong for ourselves, and we're going to stand strong for our family. So you've got to be that front line. We are charged with being the front line, amen? But you're strong, and you are the best equipped soldier around, amen? And if you're out of something, just go to the Father and say, Lord, I need this. And I'm talking about, you know, strength, assurity, peace. Take this anxiety, whatever it is. Refill me, Lord. Re-strengthen me. Amen. Sunday mornings are R&R. This is where you just come for rest and relaxation. Amen. Well, you guys are great. You guys are awesome. And God loves you, and God has a big, big plan for you, and he's already worked many things in your life already of a plan. But the best is yet to come. I think I said something on one of our scriptures for the church. You know, it's like, but the best is yet to come, even for Harvester's Church. We've been here 40 years, but it's going to be even better as we go. However long we go, we're going to keep going. Amen? We keep marching. We keep going. We don't take no for an answer. When all things look like, oh boy, how's it going to go when you got only this many people or that many people? It don't matter. God will do it. We just need to, all of us, remain faithful. And don't look at the natural, but look at the heavenly. Look at the spiritual and follow what God is continuing to pump into your spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray right now that you will just pour in more energy into each and every one of us, Lord God. And so I pray for this body right now, whatever may be happening, whatever level we're at, I pray right now that you will top off each of us with that of the Holy Spirit in a greater measure, Lord. Let it even come to overflow within us, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give us strength, Lord, to go out and take on our tomorrows. Bless, Lord, to give us the strength to go out and share your love, share your compassion, share your story, share what you have for those outside in the world that is lost, Lord, that are out there being deceived, Lord, those in the world that have been desensitized to just the very basics of moralities and things of that nature, Lord God, and what is good and bad is good, Lord, just fill us and keep us strong. Put us out there, Lord, where you want us to be that light and that example throughout this area or location, Lord, wherever we may be. And I thank you, Lord, for the regeneration of that of the Holy Spirit and the strength within our bodies, Lord, right now in our spirit. I thank you, Father, right now. Right now. I thank you, Lord, for filling me again and again so that I don't run down. I receive more of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, give God the glory. Be blessed. God bless you. Lord, bless their giving. Bless their tithes. Provide for them over and above. We thank you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.